Not the Footy Shark Show.
Oh, you bastard! Take him in the Orange Special!
Hey, this is MG, and you're listening to Not the Footy Show.
G'day everyone, this is Warwick Nicholson from Not The Footy Show, a big Origin 3 special. You've come to the right place. I've got Steve Mascord, Mr. Everywhere Man when it comes to journalism in rugby league. He joins me for a chat about Origin folklore and a few current topics in rugby league. DC Chapman's on the line, Matty Duncan dissects round 17 and discusses that Mitchell Pearce is the best halfback in the world according to Ricky Stewart. And we've got Nick McInerney bringing up the rear with another great look at all his predictions for Origin 3. Should be a good one. Stick around and enjoy the next hour of Not the Footy Show, episode 71, the State of Origin 3 preview.
Not the... No, we're not the... Not the Footy Show. Show?
We're kicking off the show with a topic that comes up during the Steve Mascord interview, and that is the greatest moment in Origin history. Now, I've been able to acquire two recordings of the calls of this particular moment. I'm going to play the first one from Ray Hadley. I'm going to follow it with Ray Warren. And I want you to tell me which one you think is the better call. Here's Ray Hadley's.
Still 60 metres to negotiate. Plays the ball back to Meninga. New South Wales offside. Langer to Kevin Walters. Then the ball goes to Khan. Khan looking to get the pass away. Reynolds plucks it out of the sky. He goes down the touchline. Away from Barnhill. The ball to Hancock. Hancock only 30 out. The pass to Darren Smith. Smith inside the corner. The ball to Langer. Langer's only 80 out. The pass to Meninga. Meninga for the line. Back to Croy. Croy's in. Croy. Queensland has won. They score to Croy. 14-12 and a kick to come. I can't believe it. They've got it.
So there was Ray Hadley's call for 2UE, and here is Ray Rabs Warren calling for Channel 9.
Trailing 12-10. Langer pushing it wide. Walters onward. Khan joins in. Floats the pass for Renoff. Renoff down the touchline. Beats one. Gets it in field. Hancock gets it on. Queensland are coming back. Darren Smith for Langer. Langer gets it away. Here's the big fella. Gets the pass on. Coyne goes for the corner and gets the try. Queensland, it's a miracle.
Oh, yeah. What about that one? It's Dolo.
Unbelievable. What about that from Queensland? I can't believe it. Unbridled joy on the sideline, and why not?
That's not a try. That's a miracle.
Not the Footy Show.
G'day everyone, welcome to Not the Footy Show, episode 71. I've got Steve Mascord on the line. Now, I'd tell you where he was from, but he's from everywhere. Steve, I've got you for Rugby League Week. I've got you for ABC Grandstand, Triple M, SteveMascord.com, NRL.com, Rugby League World. Who don't you work for?
I thought you were going to say where I'm from geographically, and that would definitely be Wollongong. Always was and always will be. But I'm sure there's a few places out there that could probably use my help, so if they're listening, give us a ring.
Well, that's why we've got you on Not the Footy Show, mate. Had to tick another one off your list, so it's good to have you on. Mate,
I'm looking forward to sending in my invoice.
What? So, Steve, we've got you on because Origin 3, it's in a couple of days' time. People are saying it's the greatest Origin, or the biggest Origin game in history, etc., etc. So I thought what we'd do is we tap into your extensive experience in covering these big games and sort of look at the bit of the folklore that was involved in Origin since 1980. I mean, you've been covering Origin. When did you start, I guess, from a professional capacity, start covering rugby league or Origin?
I had a press pass in 1986. I was in year 10 that year, so I didn't go to State of Origin games. So I went as a fan in the early 80s, went as a fan in 1982, but I didn't go professionally until probably about 1989, 1990.
So 1982 was your first Origin game, 86, first time in a press box, just covering rugby league. But I just wanted to throw a stat out before we talk about Origin folklore. I just had a look then. Did you know that no Queenslander has refereed State of Origin since Game 3, 1997?
Unlike in England, where we still have the name of the town a referee's from, you can't be, well, up until very recently, you couldn't be appointed to control your hometown team. We've got no hometown Harriers in Australia, so it shouldn't make any difference, should it?
No, exactly right. I just thought I'd throw that one out there for all those Queenslanders with the conspiracies about how New South Wales run everything. Queensland have won, what, five straight series, and they've had all New South Wales refs. We'll get into the folklore. I guess the biggest question is, I think it's undoubtedly that Wally Lewis is the greatest Origin player of all time. So that kind of takes away the question of who the greatest Queenslander is. I wanted to ask you, who do you think the greatest New South Wales player, in terms of influence or just ability, that's played for New South Wales has been since 1980?
It's too hard a question. I think if you're talking about folklore and you're talking about fellas who we keep going back to and seeing pictures of, but, you know, I don't think I could go back over every Origin game in my head and actually assess everyone's performance. But Steve Mortimer is certainly, I would say, close to the most, along with Ben Elias, most famous New South Wales State of Origin players. And Steve Mortimer did captain New South Wales to a historically significant win. So, but I think a lot of the players, unlike Queensland, well, not unlike Queensland, I think Wally Lewis used to just shine in big occasions.
Yeah.
And I think in New South Wales, the best New South Wales players weren't necessarily the best rugby league players from New South Wales, if you get what I mean.
Yep.
I think if you go back, players like Ryan Girdler would perform very well at State of Origin level. Brad Fiddler has been a good State of Origin player. Andrew Johns didn't quite dominate interstate football the way he dominated a club football.
Yeah.
So I would have to say, in lieu of a standout, I'll probably be going for like Steve Mortimer and Ben Elias and those sort of players. Steve Roach was a good Origin player. Michael O'Connor was a good Origin player. Mark McGaw was another one who was very good at Origin level. But I can't name just one.
If I had to, I would say Laurie Daly. I consider that he became captain of the Blues in, was it 92? And we won three straight series then with him as captain as a 22-year-old, if I recall. And that Queensland team was pretty special. That was Lewis, that was Langer, that was... Langer, Meninga, Lidner, all these guys that were all at sort of the peak of their powers. And that New South Wales team went through and won three straight series with him as captain. He was... I mean, as a child, I loved Laurie Day. He was my favourite player growing up. But I always thought that, as great as he was for the Raiders, I always thought he was that little bit better at New South Wales level.
Yeah, no, he's a very good candidate. You make a lot of good points. I'm not going to argue with you.
We're going to move on to toughest injuries endured during Origin. A couple of the ones that were thrown up were Bob Lidner's broken leg in 1989, Gilly getting off the IV drip from hospital to play in 1995. The other one that I really wanted to bring up was Mick Devere's staple incident. If you remember, that was back in the early 2000s. That was a made-for-TV moment. Do you think there's been any others that have been quite as good as the old staple into the brow of Mick Devere?
No, I think John Orchard is the... there's no question who the greatest doctor in New South Wales State of Origin history is. Definitely John Orchard. He's the Hall of Famer. I expect to see his footprints outside a hospital somewhere before he retires. He is definitely an all-time great, and the staple gun was a holy grail of State of Origin. In fact, I think maybe it should be bronze, the staple gun, and perhaps presented to as some sort of award in future, because it's certainly, when you talk about folklore, it's right up there.
Now, can you think of any other ones that people may not be as aware of?
Oh, you got me. I'm just going back. I mean, it was the early 90s at the Sydney Football Stadium, where it was more not so much the nature of the injuries, but the number of injuries, where Queensland... absolutely
decimated, right?
and still come out on top. Graham Lowe was the coach of Queensland, I remember, and Mark Dyer was. On that occasion, I can't remember what any of the injuries were, but I know there were a lot of them, and it was considered the most courageous performance by either team in State of Origin history. So that's the other time that stands out in my mind.
I want to bring up Origin in 2000, mainly because I'm a Blues fan and it was a good time for us, but The question basically to you now is, we're in a situation where Queensland have won five straight series wins. They're going for number six. We go back to 2000, New South Wales won 3-0. We won the last game 56-16, and everybody seemed to want to say that Origin was dead. Within 12 months, Queensland come back, they win the next series. Do you see a bit of a correlation to what happens now? If New South Wales happen to lose this game on Wednesday, do you think the Origin is dead stigma is going to come back out again?
No, I don't think this game is as important as that game 6 years ago at all. Because to be honest, State of Origin can do without New South Wales, but it can't really do without Queensland. I think if Queensland lost interest in State of Origin, then its entire relevance would be almost evaporated. So I remember that occasion. I remember actually a newspaper, Ben Eichen was working with the Queensland team, and he was he wanted an old newspaper item column by Graham Murray or something like that. And I dug it up for him, and this is in Melbourne, before that game in Melbourne, and dug it up for him, and subsequently worked out for me because I was able to write about them using it on the day of the game.
Yep.
To make themselves. But that, for memory, the column was about that very thing, about New South, you know, Queensland, struggling, and about how New South Wales now owned Origin and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, I think State of Origin, the great thing about Game 2 is that I think after all this time, after 30 years, I think New South Wales has finally bought into the whole Origin idea wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And it's something that Queensland have done from the beginning. But State of Origin was established to give Queensland a chance of winning. Let's not deny it. New South Wales didn't need any help winning.
Yep.
They're winning on a regular basis. So I think to say a game New South Wales might lose 6 in a row is more important than a game where Queensland are looking at a long period of, in the doldrums is wrong. I think in rugby league we often overstate the importance of current events, and we don't have enough regard for our history, and we don't consider our history enough before we make statements like that.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I want to go to the final sort of question on this focal aspect, and it comes out of the Origin 2000 series. Gordon Tallis gets sent off in game one. Any idea what he may have said to Bill Harrigan?
Apology is cheap, didn't he?
Something cheat. Is that one sort of the one that sort of sticks with you?
Your mother's a rig. Remember that? That was quite amazing. Where Gordon Tallis, scored in extra time and went to the northern end of ANZ Stadium, as it is now, or whatever it was, ANZ Stadium Australia, and gave the one finger salute to some people in the crowd. And the story was that the sign had said, "Your mother's a pig." And subsequently, everyone said that no, it said rig. Your mother's a rig, and it's Western suburb slang, etc. And I didn't hear that piece of Western suburb slang before that incident, and I haven't heard it since. So there you go. It's the only time in the history of the English language that the word rig was used to describe a woman. I've never heard it before. Haven't heard it since.
It's funny that I bring it up mainly to look at how, as you say, that the Queenslanders can just take these slights so personally. I mean, the other incident out of that 2000 series again was the Brian Fletcher hand grenade from the post-try celebrations. Everyone was getting behind him, loving it on the footy show, and then he does that. And a couple of the comments I've had in the last couple of days have been that Queenslanders felt that was the most embarrassed, or that it's the worst they've felt on an Origin thing. Their team's getting smashed, and we had the guile to do that. How did you make of that situation, the actual hand grenade and the post-try celebration?
Well, post-match celebrations were popular at the time in club football, so it was just extended in state football. I suppose from the Queensland point of view, it was the reverence that used to be attached to State of Origin had disappeared because of the size of the victory by New South Wales, and the actual importance of the State of Origin had been eroded, and that was a sign of that. So I suppose it was a fair enough way to look at things, a dramatic way to look at things. But I haven't got any problem with it.
I would have felt more embarrassed looking at the scoreboard, to be perfectly honest. The last thing I wanted to draw from all these experiences, I know what my number one moment in State of Origin is. I just want to double check that possibly you've got the exact same one.
No, number one moment in State of Origin, I can remember, was probably one of the first ones I saw live, the Noel Cleal line dropout, which just fell in the mud, and then Wally Lewis catching the ball off the crossbar and diving over under the post. That's what stands out in my mind. It was a big impression on me, and Wally Lewis was my favourite player as a kid, so I would say that.
Okay.
You might say Michael O'Connor's sideline conversion or something like that.
No, I'm going to... This is where everybody has to remember that the Origin is about the whole thing, and that's Mark Coyne's miracle try. That one, that still haunts me to this day. I was 14 years old at the time, and that one has just... It's etched in my brain. That is the greatest Origin moment as far as I'm concerned. I can't compare anything to it.
Yeah, no, that was probably most people's moment. I suppose for me, I chose mine because I was there, and it was raining, and... I ended up drenched through and ended up building my uncle's back seat of the car on the way home because I was so wet that I think they had to replace the upholstery. So that's sort of a memory that also involves some personal experience.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get your origin prediction for game number three. Now, before we get to that, New South Wales final 17. Queensland say that the fact they haven't announced what it is out of that 20-man team or 19-man squad that's left is against the spirit of the game. Do they remember when they named TBA at wing?
Well, they were going to use Taylor as well, weren't they? They were going to, Dave Taylor was going to get a downgrade and actually not miss any matches at all. So, you know, I agree with you there, but I also agree it is against... I think it's a very dangerous hit on the ACC. It's a dangerous precedent to pick an extended squad,
yeah,
and then subsequently someone like Brett Morris may not play, and he missed his club game yesterday.
Completely agree.
Now, what is to stop Queensland naming 18 or 19 or 20 or 21 or 22 players for game one next year? I just don't think the Australian Rugby League should have stood by and allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
If they can't guarantee a player is going to take part in the game, then he should have been released to play for his club at the weekend, and I think they'll live to regret not cracking down on that.
I think that the biggest example of why that isn't good for the players as well is Trent Merrin's performance yesterday for the Dragons. You can't tell me that he was focused enough to go back and play for his club side after thought he was in the team basically the whole week and then gets punted late in the week.
Yeah, well, plenty of players have been merged over the years and they still play for their clubs the previous week. Oh, I just think it's everyone's been blinded by the fact that New South Wales have lost five series in a row and they've got to win. And I don't think the people in the ARL and also the ARL's power is slowly winding down with the commission coming in. So it's a bit of a blind spot for the New South Wales team management. They've managed to sort of slip this through unnoticed. But as I said, I think they'll live to regret it, and it certainly should never happen again unless we decide that State of Origin is so important that we take out 80 players out of the weekend football. Give both teams 40 players each, so they're all taken out of the weekend football. It's either 17 or it's as many as you want. There's no in-between.
I think the best thing that might be coming out of this, and I don't know if it's a deliberate attempt by Ricky Stewart, but one of the things that it highlights for me is, yet again, the need to have standalone Origin. If he's willing to do this, maybe he's sending a message saying, well, if the players are, if we've got no club football, then I can name as many as I want. I don't know if there's a subtle dig in there.
Well, one of them does have club, like as I said, if Brett Morris was to not play, I mean, I'll assume he's definitely playing, but if he doesn't, it would be outrageous. But you're right. I think State of Origin, I mean, again, something we've spoken about on the ABC a few times, but it's ridiculous if you're an outsider looking into rugby league in this country that we have a product that generates millions of dollars and we charge media rights and sponsorship enormous amounts for it, and then we take our 34 best players out of it to, you know, three weekends a year. It's dumb. It's stupid. It makes no sense at all. And I think it'll go the same way as catching a steamboat for the Kangaroo Tour. We'll look back on it and laugh at it one day.
Let's hope so. And let's hope it's next year, at the very least. Mate, a couple of... I didn't get your prediction. Who's going to win?
Queensland. I think Queensland by 10.
Okay, and Darren Lockyer goes out a winner. A couple of NRL notes stemming out of ABC Grandstand work. We'll kick off with the Matt King interview you guys did on Saturday afternoon. I thought it was a really refreshing interview, hearing a guy who's playing, obviously, in the Super League over there. He basically questioned how the Super League's run. What did you make of what he said?
I thought he was actually complimentary to the talent in the Super League. He said there's some very good players, but he just couldn't understand how, and we see it to a much, much lesser competition, where any time a player in a lesser club starts to show ability and promise, he's poached by, and seemingly mid-contract, by a better club, and therefore even though the Super League, the RFL continue to argue that the competition is getting closer, he said that he described it as a bridge rather than a gap. But, I suppose with every gap you need a bridge. He said the bridge between the top clubs and the lesser clubs in Super League is getting bigger, and for someone who plays for Warrington and that's a club that's emerged over the last sort of 5 years as a powerhouse, from I think he's in a good position to comment.
Yeah, it was really good to hear. And it's funny, you also brought up a point that ever since his daughter's been born, he's been on a try-scoring tear, and look what he did in the weekend, another hat-trick.
Yeah, well, he actually was speaking after that game.
The Castleford game?
It was a few hours before. That game was on Friday night.
Ah, okay.
And the interview was Friday night English time, and the interview was sort of Saturday morning English time, so he was talking with the benefit of hindsight. But yeah, since his, I think, a little girl, Charlie, was that prevented him playing in the Exiles game. He's been on a run of tries, and I'm sure the South Sydney fans can't wait for him to get back here.
Yeah, it's a fair signing for the Bunnies. Now, the final query I wanted to put forward to you is that Penrith have appointed Ivan Cleary as their coach for next season. Steve Georgiou's basically got one game to prove his worth, and then effectively been put by the wayside by Penrith. There's a rumour coming out of the Telegraph that there's a player revolt, that they're not happy that Georgiou didn't get a chance to be their coach next year. What's the latest you've heard on that?
Look, I spoke to six players on the record on Saturday night, on Saturday night at Centrebet Stadium, and I'm afraid I'm not going to tell you what they said. You'll have to buy Rugby League Week.
Good man, well done.
They do love Steve Georgiou, but they did have some thoughts on what Steve Georgiou should do now that he's not going to be head coach next year.
Yep.
And I'll leave you to buy Rugby League Week because my boss would get very upset if I told you what was in my story 2 days before the man comes out.
That's what we're after. Plugs of your work, mate. Well done. Played it beautifully. mate, so you're in League Week. You're on NRL.com. Is there a particular website, though, that people should definitely be visiting?
You want me to play SteveMascot.com? SteveMascot.com, of all the places that I labour for, is the one that doesn't... I don't like the boss. He's a Scrooge. I'm thinking of going on strike. He's never paid me. Working conditions are terrible. So plugging that site would probably get me a few hits. And I'm quite proud of it just because it's a creative thing, isn't it? Like putting together a website, together a podcast. They're things that you don't get to do if you just work for the man, just clock on and clock off. So it's a rewarding thing, but it's not a rewarding thing financially. There's no advertising on there or anything like that except what WordPress put on there themselves.
Yep.
But one of the best things about it is that at the weekend I've taken two interns to games and got them to write match reports, and I've been able to give them some advice, I hope, and they've been able to copy, and hopefully when there are jobs coming up around the place, I'll be able to help them get jobs and help my former colleagues at the newspapers get new employees, and maybe eventually I'll be able to set up my own little agency and some of these guys will be able to work with me. So these are the sort of things, along with editing video and all that sort of stuff, and topping up audio, and the things that you don't have to do when you just go to Holt Street at midday and going home at 9:30. So it's very rewarding in that way.
Yeah, Marcus Melalokonomos, I think that, and Michael Tozer, they had their match reports up.
A different fellow coming to the game tonight, Monday Night Football. I don't know when the listeners are hearing this interview, but we're
Tuesday.
Recording it on Monday. And there's another fellow coming to a game tonight. I've even lined up a young guy in Hull who's going to follow me a match report from this morning's
Hull-KR
game. So, as I said, it's an empire, but it's an empire that runs without the green stuff at the moment.
Mate, I know all about that. It's all good. Steve Mascord, mate, it's been a pleasure having a chat to you, talking about Origin and just the nuts and bolts in Rugby League, and I'm really encouraged by what you're doing with those young fellas with the intern program. I think if you're interested, I'm sure you can drop Steve a line on Twitter at The Real Stevis and on his website, SteveMascord.com.
I may be no help to these kids, but if I take them to games, they might meet someone who in their future career will be of help to them. They become a familiar face around the place, and they get to know reporters and photographers and television people. Even if the advice I'm giving them is absolute crap and bollocks, there still might be some other benefit from hanging out with me.
Mate, it's been a pleasure having a chat to you, and everybody check out SteveMascord.com, and I'm sure you've already checked out all his work because he's everywhere, and I hope to talk to you again, mate.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Top of the footy show.
Sure.
Morning, Dr. Cox.
Gladys, Ginger, Tiffany, no, Cheryl, Betsy, that's new.
Betsy, good morning. Let's make with a chop chop.
Do you know you already used Betsy like 6 months ago?
I don't care.
Damn it.
Top of the footy show. Show?
So Not the Footy Show, it continues, everybody. We just had Steve Mascord on the phone talking about Origin folklore, and the man who likes talking about Queensland's continued Origin dominance is Matty Duncan from up there in Queensland. Matty, good evening.
Hey, Ross. How are you, mate?
Mate, doing quite well. Just got away from the TV. The Canberra Raiders are starting another run of the finals. 38 points to 12 over the Roosters. We'll talk about round 17 soon, but first impressions, how good is the Papaya King?
The Papaya King, I backed him first try score last week and didn't back up. I'm filthy.
Josh Papali's going gangbusters. And, mate, I got to say this before we go to our origin part of the show, but, mate, Brett White and Josh McCrone are playing out of their skin. The planets are lot. What's happening? Is there something happening cosmically that I don't know of? Because this just shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, something with Jupiter, I think it is at the moment. And your two favourites are playing very, very good football.
Oh, mate, I'll give them credit. They are playing outstanding. Josh McCrone, two good games in a row. It's unheard of. And Brett White's in career best form, which doesn't say much for the rest of his career, but he's playing very, very well. Mate, we're going to talk about State of Origin on the Footy Show. So Origin 3, the preview begins after these messages. I'm not sure what they are, but here are the messages.
The Eels. What we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell played the third game in a preseason? Like it's bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The
Eels.
Or who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown the
Eels.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Here's a quick tease for what's coming at the end of the podcast. Bit of a tribute to a certain number six for Queensland, but here is what was said by one of the New South Wales players after that moment.
Joined by Willie Mason. Willie, I mean, what can I say? How do you feel after that, mate?
Mate, absolutely gutted. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Do you look back at any point and think, you know, that's where we threw it away, or, you know, what?
Mate, I don't know. We just... Mistakes just led him back into the game. We should have put him to the sword, but we just didn't, mate. It's, mate, that's Origin. That's Queensland. It's ridiculous, and I can't describe the feeling now.
Okay, welcome back. Here's Matty Duncan on the line in Queensland. A bit of a broken man, actually, ladies and gentlemen, because his beautiful show, Sports Fever, they lined up Mal Meninga, and, oh, mate, it could be a sign of things to come on Wednesday with, like, the Queensland dominance falling over. But, buddy, what happened?
Oh, well, we... The tech guy wasn't in the studio, so I was left in charge to organise the pre-record, and the interview went perfectly. We had a chat to Mel, we covered a couple of different topics, and then I hadn't recorded it properly, so it's lost. But I did get to chat with him last Friday, so Andre can vouch for it. He was there as well, so there's two of us that can prove it, but unfortunately there's no pre-record.
Mate, it explains why I've got the call up for Wednesday.
That's it, you're filling in for Big Mel.
Very good. I reckon I do just about as good a job coaching Queensland as he does, mate.
Oh, that's a touchy subject. We brought that up with Mel. The fact that he wasn't, you know, there was speculation from New South Wales that he wasn't actually the coach. He was just, the person that they named as coach. And, in fact, Michael Hagan was doing more of the coaching. But, Mel swatted that way very quickly. I think he used it. When the word he used was disrespectful.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy with it, but he said, look, if that's what they want to think, let them think that at the end of the day. So it was a good interview with Mel. No real scoops as such. On Friday, he thought all the players would be fit and ready to go, and he just spoke a bit about his final game and some of the adjustments that he's making to Lockyer's farewell that they don't go down that same path.
Ah, very good. Yes, New South Wales, I believe, won that game 25-12 from memory at Lang Park.
It was my first ever Origin game, was. It scarred me. I was excited. It was Queensland had just... That was the first Suncorp Stadium. That was the first time Lang Park had been reopened as Suncorp Stadium, rebranded.
Yep.
Not a good night.
Mate, New South Wales played beautifully that evening, and hopefully this Wednesday they can do the same. Now, you made a comment that Mal Meninga said, you know, those New South Welshmen can think what they like. Interestingly enough, in the last 24 hours, a New South Welshman has said what he thinks, and all of a sudden, Queensland's up in arms again. Ricky Stewart's pushing Queensland's buttons beautifully, saying that Mitchell Pearce is the best halfback in the world.
Oh, he might be firing up a few fans, Woz, but I don't think Thirsty or any of the Maroons team will be taking too much notice of that at all. So, he's got a few of the fans a bit fired up, but... good on Ricky, but I think Gould was the best, you know, button pusher ever seen, and I think he used to do it best, particularly when it was Penrith versus the Broncos in the 90s. He used to come and say how will we beat these Broncos? They're just too good, they're so good across the park, and it seemed every time we'd get dusted by a Gould team after he'd come out in the media and more or less just give Broncos raps week after week. And whereas Ricky seemed to go on the reverse way, kind of said, no, we've got the world's best halfback playing for us. So it'd be interesting to see how that affects both Thursday and Pearce on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I've got a theory that it's a win-win with Mitchell Pearce, because I don't think Mitchell Pearce thinks of himself in that category at all. And what Stewart's basically doing is making a public forum and saying, I rate my halfback, which I think is an important thing. I mean, you go back to when Thurston came into Origin, I think it was 2006 or whatever, but he came in after the Joey Johns was still playing, and you know, everyone wouldn't have considered him the best halfback in the world, but he's ended up being at that stage. I'm not saying Mitchell Pearce is ever going to be the best halfback in the world, but I think it's a good sign from Stewart to say, I rate you as a player, Mitchell. If Mitchell Pearce was actually on a level with Thurston at the moment, I think it would be a mistake to say this. But he's got nothing to lose. The kid could go out there and play the greatest game he's ever played, and no one's ever going to say that he's the same player as Thurston. So I like that sign of confidence in him. And I guess my thing is with Stewart's comment is it's just a distraction. It's another thing to put in the mind of the Queenslanders as they come in. They've got Lockyer's retirement. They've got all these aspects. Got to try and win six in a row. And then all of a sudden, now Thurston's being disrespected. They're just all these little things that he's throwing out there trying to put into the mix to make them, I guess, it depends on how strong, as you say, the mentality of these Queensland players are. But, you know, I think it can't hurt New South Wales by doing it.
No, fair point was. We'll just have to see how it unfolds on Wednesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Wednesday night, everything I seem to be reading, I get this impression that Queensland haven't won five in a row. I keep just getting these little vibes that there's a bit of concern up there in Queensland that maybe the streak is over.
No, we're not worried about that at all, Woz. We're just worried about some silly little games the New South Welshmen are playing. We just want to keep you on the straight and narrow. No, there's an air of confidence up here that we will make it six in a row and send the great Darren Lockyer out a winner.
Now, what do you guys do to try and make that happen? What's your game plan?
I think the Queenslanders will come out in a more attacking mind frame on Wednesday night. I think I've mentioned in the last couple of games, I really feel in the Queenslanders have tried to grind a win out. I think we'll know the winner. I really think Queensland will come out flying.
Yeah.
If they don't, if they're not in front after the, say, by 12 or so by the 20-minute mark, I will be nervous, I'll admit that, but I really think the Queensland will come out firing. They'll spread the ball a lot more than they have in the first couple of games. I think they'll look to get Inglis a lot more involved now that he's had another couple of runs since that Origin game. I think you'll see a more expansive game from the Queenslanders.
Yeah, I think it's definitely got to be on the cards. I mean, you've got to give the ball to Hodges and Inglis and just actually let them do their thing. I mean, if I'm in, again, this would have been the tactic, I'm sure, in games one and two, but if you're Queensland, you just find Jamie Soward and run him all night. My concern looking at the Queensland roster, and I'm surprised I didn't identify this sooner, but realistically, you've only got one edge back rower in that side.
Yep.
In Sam Thaiday, because Nate Miles plays in the middle, Ashley Harrison plays in the middle, Corey Parker plays in the middle, Lilliman's basically a second row front rower anyway, Hannon's obviously a front rower, and that leaves your Sam Thaiday as your only real edge runner, and he started the season off in the middle of the field, playing as a prop. And my concern, I guess, is I'm not saying that New South Wales, just because they picked 7,000 back rowers, they're going to be that much better on the edges. It's just, my worry for Queensland is, unless Inglis is the guy, or Hodges are the ones making the breaks, I just can't see you being that much of a threat on those edges running off short balls. It's going to be those centres. You've got to make the best use of them, because I just can't really see that back row being that dynamic.
No, I think the Queenslanders, would be the first to admit that their strike weapons are Inglis and Hodges, and that's probably why they've played the style of game in those first couple of games. But I agree with you. Was the points or at least the breaks have to come from GI and Hodges.
Now, the one question I have for you, I doubt it will happen, but I know Justin Hodges went off with a tight hammy midway through last week. Is there any chance that Jacob Lilliman doesn't get a start and Dade Nielsen ends up on the bench?
Ooh, look, I wouldn't rule it out. He's an injury-prone character, is Jay Hodges. So, I was actually thinking about that the other day. If they go with Lilliman and don't, have Nielsen up their sleeve, what's the option if, particularly with, you know, Inglis has been strong in his last couple of games,
yeah.
There's probably still got to be a question mark over him. What happens if one of the centres goes down? You know, who do they...
Because we've just identified the back row isn't that
no
transferable, so...
Yeah.
Cooper Cronk playing the centres?
Oh, well, he played some centres early, you know, early in his career. That's probably what they do. They'd probably shift him out there. Maybe Ashley Harrison in defence, maybe. So, yeah, it would be interesting. I wouldn't rule it out, Dean Nielsen is sitting on the bench.
Now, speaking of the New South Wales team, they still haven't confirmed their lineup. As you would have heard earlier on the podcast, Steve Mascord blew up about the whole 20-man squad, saying it's an absolute joke that Brett Morris, if he ends up not playing on Wednesday, didn't play on the weekend. New South Wales, they've given every player basically a clean bill of health. All their hammies are fine, apparently. Bo Scott has got the flu, but apparently will definitely play. New South Wales also toying with not... Now, they let Trent Merrin out of the side on Friday, but they kept Keith Galloway. Now, there's a chance that Keith Galloway may miss out again, and they play Glenn Stewart. Are you worried, after seeing what happened in Game 2, which I didn't think was that big a deal, the fact they had 1,000 back rowers, but... Another back rower, especially a guy who's a bit of a ball-playing back rower. Do you think Glenn Stewart adds more than Keith Galloway would?
Oh, no, look, I like Big Keith Galloway. I think he's made for Origin. Glenn Stewart doesn't worry me, really. He's a talented ball player, but no, neither of them, you know, have me shaking in my boots. But I think Big Keith, made for Origin. I'd like to see him, from that point of view, get a run.
It's funny, I had him in my team back when we did our preview special a couple of months ago, and then he came out and put in 2 absolute stinkers, and I thought, oh man, I've made a massive mistake. Don't want him there. And then all of a sudden, the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's put some form in, and deserves a chance. I think we saw with Trent Merrin, pretty disinterested on the weekend against the Knights. The poor kid took a lot of confidence bash, I think, of not only playing 11 minutes in Game 2. Blues, I think they'll end up going with Galloway, and we'll be interested to see what happens with their starting team. I reckon there's a chance you might see Bo Scott start on the bench in Game 3. Now, we'll get to our predictions after we look at Round 17, but if you had to identify one player in New South Wales' side that really worries you going into Game 3, who would it be, mate?
Oh, Paul Gallen.
Ooh, the front rower.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the second-best halfback in World Rugby League, mate, as my guy I worry about. That'd be Jonathan Thurston, in case you weren't sure.
Yeah.
Look, everybody, we'll be back with Round 17 in review on Not the Footy Show.
Kenny the Cockroach.
There's just a lot of little things that we're just not getting right, which ultimately add up to...
Not the Footy Show.
Okay, let's look at Round 17. It's just finished. We touched on it at the start of the interview, Matty, but those Canberra Raiders. David Furner's a sly old dog, because in the press only today he came out and said, look, all I'm after from my team is completing our sets. Having a good attitude, grinding away, really sticking to the grind, and looking for repeat sets. And he said, if that happens, I'm happy with our performance. If you watch Canberra tonight, the grind was there to a degree, but so was some football. What was going on? 38 points to 12, the Raiders over the Roosters.
They looked pretty red hot, didn't they? Was playing some really good football with the Green Machine, and he's a great peaker of sides, Steve Herder, isn't he? You know, he just has them... hitting form at the right time of the season each year.
Well, I was critical, and from what we saw, you had to be critical of how the Raiders were going at the start of the year for the first half of the season. It looked like they were just trying to get through that period without Campese and see what happened when he came back. He lasted 19 minutes or 15 minutes and then was gone again for basically the rest of the season. Furner's, basically, it's a carbon copy of what happened last year. They got to 15 games into the season, had 4 or 5 wins, and then decided, hey, let's just throw the ball around and play some football. Yes, the fundamentals need to be there, and that's the case with any team. If you hold on to the football, you can play this other style. But there seems to be some hope in the Raiders. And Sam Williams, and yes, we said it at the top of the show, Josh McCrone, pretty good form for the Canberra Raiders and the Sydney Roosters. Dearie, dearie me.
Yeah, I'm pretty badly. And, of course, were the grand finalists last year. It's as bad as I've seen a Brian Smith team go for a while, if ever.
Yeah, I think we had a chat about this before we went to air, and his last period at the Eels before he ended up walking away, I think they had 2 wins from 10 before he was punted. But I can't see him getting sacked from the Roosters, not after taking him to the grand final last year.
No, true. But they didn't muck around with Graham Murray too. He got him to a grand final and got punted not long after.
Maybe Ricky Stewart's heading back to the Roosters. Let's put it out there as well. Although I can't see it happening. Raiders, they'll move up into... let me have a look here, into 13th spot. They'll leapfrog the Eels. And significantly, the 26-point victory puts them to minus 62, which all of a sudden, they're in spitting distance of where the Sharks are with minus 27, the Bulldogs minus 31, and the South Sydney on a minus 49. And yes, they're 4 points out of the top eight after round 17. I got to ask you this, Matt. Is it a case of parity is the best thing in the world for the NRL, or is mediocrity just ruling the roost?
It's the latter for what sure was, isn't it? You know, it's pretty disappointing when you hear some of those sides that are on the cusp of the eight. They're going very, very ordinary, aren't they? And, you know, we'll play finals football.
Well, the team coming sixth is the Newcastle Knights, who beat the St George Illawarra Dragons 14 points to 10 at Wynn Stadium on Sunday afternoon. And they're not going fantastic, but here they are in outright sixth position. And, yeah, they just went and beat the Premiers, who didn't have half their team. But that was a very average display from the Dragons.
No, very ordinary from the Dragons. They were due for a game like that. They got up the last time they had all their players. It's hard to keep doing that. But I tipped the Knights. While the results haven't been there for the Knights, I do like the consistency. You know what you're going to get from Newcastle every week. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they seem to have key players out. You're still going to get the same type of football from them. I really like doing the Knights play. It's not flashy, but it's consistent. And that's handy for the tipping.
It very much is, mate. You finished with 4 from 5 for the weekend. Give yourself a round of applause. Because that's just outstanding. The Knights, in the difference in this game for me was they just wanted the game more. The Dragons looked like a team that had lost 3 of the last 4 games and had a draw before that. They just completely flat. They had a 6-point lead and just didn't even look like going on with it. And then the Knights got a sniff. Ryan Stigg, Tyrone Roberts do the job in the halves. When you consider they're up against Nathan Fein and Ben Hornby, who aren't stiffs, and they look just a little bit more controlled and composed than the Dragons' counterparts.
Yeah, the Dragons looked a bit flustered at times, those two very experienced players, but no, good luck to Newcastle, and throw Wayne Bennett in the mix next year, they'll definitely be a force.
And Darius Boyd, Cade Snowden, yeah, it's a pretty handy pick-up up there in Newcastle. The Dragons, they're in now in third position, and they're still a game and a half behind the Storm at the top of the ladder, but I know a betting agency paid out on the Dragons, 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Looking pretty foolish right now. Now, the Sharks, they made the South Sydney Rabbitohs look foolish. 26 points to 4 at Toyota Park, which had a big crowd. Now, that's the big story.
That's it. They've got there to watch the game. What's going on there?
Mate, well, it was a bit of a Twitter campaign, and I wonder how effective that was. They had a little hashtag going as of midway through the previous week, and they said, pack Toyota Stadium, and they packed Toyota Stadium. I'm a bit of a loss how it actually happened, because my impressions from Sharkies fans is they've got to win more than 2 games in a row to turn up, and here they are, they've won 3, and the Bunnies, who beat your Broncos last Friday night, we said the Dragons were flat, but gee, the Bunnies were just even worse.
They go bad as favourites. I went against me all world when the Bunnies are favourites, they go bad. But I just didn't think the Sharks without Paul Gallen, you know, could match the Bunnies, who still had a fair team on paper. But good on the Sharks, playing some good football. And Flanagan's, he's done a good job with the Sharks this year.
And he's definitely shown a bit of faith in Chad Townsend, the young halfback. He made his debut against your Broncos, I think, a few weeks back. Didn't look that much in his first grade game, and then just gradually he's building, and he took the line on once on the weekend, scored a try, but he'd given plenty of ball to his outside backs, which, you look at the outside backs for the Sharks, Nathan Gardner is a quality player, but Matt Wright, Ben Pomeroy, Colin Best, Nathan Stapledon, they're not exactly going to worry you and make you miss any sleep, and here they are, they scored 26 points against the Bunnies, and, mate, the Bunnies, that's, well, you'd say that would be a heartbreaking loss losing to a team like Cronulla, but here they are, the Bunnies are 2 points out of the eight, and so are the Sharks. It's just, it's mediocrity on fire. Now, speaking of another team that's mediocre, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. You picked this, mate, but they went from having all the ball against the Tigers last week to not having much ball at all against the Panthers, and they just capitulated 20 points to 6 at Penrith.
They're an ordinary football team at the moment, there's something going on at Canterbury at the moment. I don't know exactly what it is, whether it's the coach, there's a little bit going on there, but I haven't liked how they've played all year. You know, they did start the year well, but, you know, if you look back, those wins were against fairly ordinary sides, but geez, they've hit the wall, and the players look disinterested to me.
Yeah, well, their coach got his the famous support from the board today. in a message on the Bulldogs website, and I'm just looking at it now, and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 paragraph in. The support of Kevin Moore in regards to ongoing media speculation. This is what Ray did, the chairman said. I can assure you that Kevin Moore will not be sacked based on the result of this weekend's game against the Storm. Kevin has a contract as the head coach of the Bulldogs, and the club will be working closely with him and support him all times. How confident are you that Kevin Moore will see out the year?
He's cactus.
Very well put, mate.
But who steps into that role there? Who is the Doggies' assistant coach? Was I can't think.
Jimmy Dimmick, I believe, is the one. And Annie Patmore is there as well, and Brett Camolli's on staff as well. But I would imagine it would be Jim Dimmick would take over if Kevin Moore was punted. Interesting to see whether... I've had this long theory with assistant coaches. I'm always surprised when they come in that whether the style changes all that much, because they've been teaching that same style under the main coach for however long, and then things change. But we saw, and this is pertinent to this game, Steve Georgalis has changed the style of the Panthers. They're throwing the ball around. Luke Walsh is just looking like $1 million. And yeah, they got the Bickies 20-6. The other name that is being heavily pushed for by a guy I know who is a huge Bulldogs fan and a very good judge, he just cannot wait to see Ricky Stewart back at the club. He started off his coaching career in the President's Cup or the reserve grade side there back in 2001-2 or whatever it was. Exactly, and he would love to see Ricky Stewart take over as the coach of the Bulldogs. Now, do you think that is a bigger chance of happening if the Blues win the Origin Series or the opposite?
I think if, I wouldn't be surprised if New South Wales win it. He ticked that one off and, yeah, would look for an NRL job again. So, yeah, I think if they win it, he's a chance.
And the Panthers win puts them up into 8th position. And everybody said that Matty Elliott couldn't coach. They said he had to go. He went. And he went again. But Steve Georgalis, 2 wins in 2 starts. Fair effort from a bloke who obviously won't be coached next year at the Panthers. But he is putting his hand up for a future job. Now, the last game of the weekend, your little Broncos, your younger Broncos. I hate calling them the baby Broncos because it's just so old. 16-12. You had about 3 chances to score. You took all 3. Parramatta had about 42. Scored twice. That was your game.
Yeah, no. I think Griffin knew that Parramatta didn't have a lot of points in them, so he focused on defence this week and just knew if they took their chances when they come, the Bronx would be a chance, and that's exactly what happened. Gagai on the wing, the intercept was fairly lucky, but scored another good try against some weak defence.
Yeah, Chris Walker, time to retire, son.
And then another former Bronco, Casey McGuire, missed a key tackle to let Matty Gillette go striding away to score the match-winning try.
It's funny, that try itself, I know that Maguire should have had better contact on Gillette, but you look at the replay, Pat O'Hanlon, the guy on the inside shoulder, and Justin Horro on the outside shoulder, it was Sydney heads between those two. There was just such a massive gap. They should have been helping Maguire out, but they just kept ball-watching, and that kid, as we know, and you gave us the tip last year before the season even began, mate, he can play, and he lays on the match-winning try. Luke Burt, pretty good for the Eels in a losing side. Nathan Highmarsh, I did the stats for his game. Let me just find him around here somewhere. He made 33 tackles in the first half, 27 in the second. And this is a late night thing after being out for dinner, so I thought I'd just have a little bit of a look and see how the stats polled out. And here we go. He made tackles in 34 of the 38 sets that Brisbane had. And in 7 of those sets, he made at least 3 tackles in those sets. The guy is a machine. I know I go on about it all the time, but I just had to do it for myself. And the fact that seven sets, he makes more than 3 tackles in a set. And the first 2 sets of the game, he made 7 tackles. What's going on? How can people not see how great a player this man is?
I don't know, Oz. I'm a big fan of him myself. Oh. So, I don't know. He tries hard, and you feel sorry for him. He wears his heart on his sleeve and always so shattered after a Parramatta loss, isn't he? So he's a very good player, and, yeah, he'd be the first picked in any team that I was choosing, or even if I was, if they put me in charge of the recruiting for the Western Reds or wherever, he'd be high on my shopping list, even at his age right now. I think he just brings so much to a football team.
I had a discussion with someone on Saturday, and I'm going to call it, I don't know if I've gone on about him, but he's my favourite player in the rugby league right now. He's ahead of Lockyer, who I love, but Nathan Highmarsh, just for what you get from him every week, he's number one in my books.
Yeah, dude. He's my favourite. He's my favourite New South Welshman, and that's, a lot coming for me in Origin week.
It's not Michael Ennis, I'm shocked. We're going to go back to our Origin tips and predictions just in a second, but the table basically is Melbourne out in front on 28 points, Manly on 26, the Dragons 25, North Queensland and Brisbane are 24 points, and you can forget the rest, really, because there's five good teams in the NRL this year, and the rest are also Rams.
Top of the footy show.
You can draw a long bow, mate, but I can tell you, I've got two maroon nuts, and that's how they're going to stay.
So let's go to our tips, our predictions for game number three. Now, obviously, Matty would pick in Queensland. I have to stick with the New South Wales Blues because I said at the start of the year they win 2-1, come back from 1-0 down. So, Matty, I'm going to give you the option to go with your full-time or half-time score, full-time score, whichever order you like, game three.
Yeah, full-time, I'm tipping 25-12, Queensland's favour.
Ooh, I'll go New South Wales for the win. I'll take 18 points to 16.
18-16, ooh, a closey.
Oh, I can't see it being that high scoring, I think. Whoever scores that... I'll say this, though. Whoever scores the first try will win the game.
Oh, there's a big tip. Well, my tip is, I think if New South Wales win, they'd win easy.
Okay.
They'd win by 10 or 16.
Wow.
I think if it's a close game, I think Queensland would win it.
Oh, there we go. Half-time score, mate?
Let's go for 18-6.
I'm going to go... A 12 points to 10 to the Blues. 18-6 for you. Now, first try score, I'll give you first dibs.
Let's go for Big GI to break a tackle and cross.
Yes, it's more than likely going to happen. And now I've said that the first try scorer will win the game, so you know I can't pick a Queenslander. Mate, I'm going to go with... Ooh, really should have thought about this before I went on air. Look, give me a killer, the thriller. Uarte.
Ooh.
In the right edge. Now, last try scorer, mate.
Let's go for the fairy tale. Let's lock you under the post.
very good. Well, now this is where I've got to decide who scores the go-ahead try for me. Look, I'm going to go with Darius Boyd as the final try scorer.
All right. To try and close for Queensland to get close.
Yes, I think it'll be the last 5 minutes. New South Wales have a two-point lead, and who knows, we might actually hold on. First knock on, buddy.
I'll go to camp.
Count the count, very, very good. Minicello in for Matty Duncan. Look, I'm going to go with Nate Miles. He's usually pretty safe, but I've got a feeling. Got a bit of inkling he might make the first mistake of the night. First penalty conceded.
The menace.
Yes, I'll take Paulie Gallen. Always a good bet there. Now, man of the match. This is the tough one. Is it Darren Lockyer? Is it the fairy tale?
No, I don't think they'll go the fairy tale. I think he'll have a good game, but... I think the man of the match will be Greg Inglis.
Ooh, very good. All right, that leaves me with a very tough decision here. I don't know if Sauer's going to last the game, so I'm gonna put it out here, okay? You ready?
Yep.
Best halfback in the world is going to get man of the match.
Ooh.
Yes, that's Mitchell Pearce, everyone, just in case you weren't sure, because I did say that Thurston was the second best, naturally. I've got Ricky Stewart's direct line. Now, our first exotic, and probably our only exotic for the evening, is going to be who's going to do their Harry hamstring. I think there's at least three players in the game that are struggling with hamstrings. Is it Justin Hodges, Jamie Soward, and Kurt Gidley?
Yep.
Three players that have got dodgy hamstrings, and we're also adding in the chance that there might be somebody else who does a dodgy hamstring. Either redoing it or doing it flush, will there be a Harry hamstring in the game?
I think a hammy will go. I think Soward is under, you know, I think he's hammy's in doubt.
So okay, you're going to say yes.
Go in Hodges. It's the dodgiest hamstring in Australia.
So you reckon there's going to be up to two guys,
yep,
do it?
I think you'll get a double.
I'm going to go the trifecta. I reckon three of them are going to do it. I reckon all three that are carrying the hammies in. Because this game ain't going to be slow-paced. I reckon this is going to be, you know, throwing themselves full onto the match. All three are going to do their hammies at some stage. So that means Sowie, Hodges and Kurt Gidley gone for the game. So Queensland for you, Matty. I'm obviously going for the Blues. I'll talk to the other lads later in the show, but... Mate, where will you be watching this game? You won't be going to the game or anything, will you?
Yeah, I might. Yeah, any tickets? Of course I'll be there, Woz. I can't wait.
It'll be good. Where are you seated, mate?
Mate, just behind the goalpost at the southern end. So I was at the northern end last time. I'm diagonally, you know, in the opposite end. So looking forward to it in the bottom tier, about 20 rows back.
Quick question for you. Do you prefer the team that you're going for coming towards you at the start of the match or at the end of the match?
End of the match was always. I like my team running home towards me and cheering home tries.
Yeah, I think we got a chance to see the Blues come back towards us, even though we were sort of relatively in the middle. on the 30-metre line. The Blues come back towards us in that. And as you say, as anyone hasn't seen it yet, go onto YouTube, NST videos, check out our We're Not The Footy Show, visited the...
One quick exotic for you.
Oh, yes, go, go.
Who will be the first to be a pest, Hodges or Ennis?
Look, I think it's going to be Justin Hodges. I reckon that's the only thing he's going to be able to do on a dodgy hamstring.
Fair enough, yep.
You?
Ennis.
He's taking Ennis. I'll take Justin Hodges. Yes, very good. This is what we like about Origin now, mate. Yeah, I will be speaking to you on Sports Fever on Wednesday, I believe.
You are up, Waz. You've got the call up in replace of Big Mel Meninga's. So we'll have a couple of other guests. We're still waiting to confirm, but it's an Origin special on Wednesday from 8 till 9. So looking forward to that one.
You can stream that on 1015.com.au. FM, sorry, 1015FM, is that right?
That's it.
.com.au. There's a link. I should have it actually on the Facebook page. And you can listen to that live from 8 a.m. on Wednesday. That's Origin 3. Matty, mate, I don't know if we'll be talking to each other in good or bad tones on Thursday, but, mate, may the best team win. Hopefully that's New South Wales. I've got the fingers crossed, everything crossed, and, mate, I just hope the experience at seeing Lockyer play his last game is everything that you need it to be.
It will be, Waz. Good luck, because you'll need it.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line!
Not the Footy Show. Show? It's Not the Footy Show, DC Talk time. So DC Chapman is on the line. Not in the studio because he's feeling extremely ill. Mate, we almost lost you on the weekend.
Yeah, I almost died. I was this close. But I'm good now. Well, I'm not good. I'm a lot better than what I was.
And why? What makes you feel any better, mate?
Oh, a Codrill.
So there you go. Free plug for old Codrill, mate.
Footy on the weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, mate, what happened?
The Dragons didn't play well, and everyone got zero in their tipping, and, well, I got one. I got the Panthers right, but...
Didn't you pick the... You picked the Roosters, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, what's going on there? Canberra actually played well. We don't know what's going on.
Well, I didn't have a chance to watch the game. I saw the result, but, I mean, you tell me, what happened?
Canberra promised the grind and then did the exact opposite. Threw the ball around, had two tries in the first 10 minutes. Roosters really, they got back to 18-12 at half time, but after half time, once the Raiders got a roll on, they scored about four tries in about 15 minutes.
Well, that roll on was on the back of the grind.
No. If you watch the game, mate, we threw the ball around, used our edge guys beautifully. It was beautiful, mate. It's like Canberra can play. It's just, for some reason...
Was it Ferner playing mind tricks?
I've given him credit. He's a sly dog. In the review with Matty a bit earlier, I said the exact same thing. I said, he's a sly one. Comes out, says, that's all I want is the grind, and then dishes out that, the Raiders. And Josh McCrone, mate, two good games in a row. What is going on?
I don't know. Is Stewart doing the same, being a sly dog?
With Mitchell Pearce? Absolutely, mate. Matty didn't take the bait. He believes it's the same deal. Wondered if he's putting any pressure on Pearce, but I disagree. I reckon he's putting all the pressure just on Queensland, getting in their minds, getting in their heads.
You know what? I reckon it's a bad tactic.
Ah, why is that, mate?
Because I reckon that's the exact type of stuff that fires up Queensland. That's the reason why they got so fired up for the first 5 years of the game, because everyone reckoned that you know, New South Wales was going to whoop them, and they said, well, we'll show you that we're better than you.
Yeah, I just think the fact that Queensland are favourites, it's Lockyer's last game, if they're not motivated for that, then they've got problems.
True, but you could have let sleeping dogs lie, and it would have been a much safer option.
Nah, it's much more fun this way. Come on, seeing all those Queenslanders take the bait, it's great.
It's not good tactics. I want
to
win.
Mate, we're going to talk about Origin right now, and we're going to kick off with, mate, who's going to win the game and why?
New South Wales is going to win the game because we're a better team.
Apart from the last 5 years, but yes.
I actually think we've got more determination to win now. I know that it's Lockie's last game and everything, but I sort of think it might be a little bit too little too late for them. I reckon we've been building up to this for quite some time, and I just think that we're going to win. It'll be something very close. I think it'll be go down to the wire. I think it'll be something like 16-14 in the end.
16-14 to the Blues. What about half time?
Well, let's keep it a two-gap margin, 8-6.
8-6 to the Blues?
Yep.
Okay, now first try scorer, Greg Inglis and Akili Iwate off the board.
Ooh, I'm going to stick with my man, Gaz.
It's all Gaznier all the time in the Chapman household. Last try scorer?
You know what it'll be off? It'll be off the Jamie Soward crossfield kick.
Okay. Even though Soward plays on the same side as Gaznier. But anyway, last try scorer?
Last try scorer?
Gaznier?
Yeah, put him down.
Very good. First knock on? Gaznier?
No.
Oh, come on. Keep it going.
Ennis.
Ennis. First penalty?
Ennis.
I can't have him. He's been taken. Third man?
Gallen.
Nah, got him. You can have third man.
Third man side, eh?
Yep.
Alright,
take him.
I don't reckon he will be, but let's take him anyway.
Man of the match. Well, if Gaznier's scoring the first try and the last try, and the score's 16-14, there's a good chance it's going to be Mark Gaznier.
Yeah, Gaz, put him in.
Very good. Now, I've got a couple of exotics, mate. The first one is, who'll do a Harry hamstring? And we've got three players that have taken bad hamstrings into the game. Justin Hodges, Jamie Soward, and Kurt Gidley. Will any of those players, or any new players, either aggravate the hamstring or do it completely? Yes or no?
One of them will. I don't know which one will, but I'd say one of them will stuff it.
Okay, I've taken all three. Will redo their hamstrings, and Matty's taken at least two. We'll do their hamstrings.
I'm going just one.
All right. Now the other one is suggested by Matty. It's pest control time. So we're getting the fumigators out. Which of the two pests, the big pest, Justin Hodges or Michael Ennis, will be pesty first?
Ennis, for sure.
I've taken Hodges. I'm going left field.
Really?
It's all good.
Qualifies as being a pest, though?
Oh, you know, mouthing off at the opposition, niggling in the play the ball, that kind of thing. Just looking for that little response from the opposition. I think you're smart. You're going with Ennis. It's a good choice. It's a good choice.
Is he going to come off the bench, though?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't think so. I think after what we saw in game two, he'll start the game for 20 minutes and then they'll jump Kirk Gidley into the action.
Righto, I'm sticking with Ennis.
That is, mate. Now, I may speak to you on Thursday after the game, but I'm going to give you some final words, mate. Origin 3, where will you be? How will you be watching it? And how are you going to celebrate it when the Blues finally break their duck over the last 5 years?
Unfortunately, I'll be watching it on my couch with my Woozer, and probably that's about it. So when we win, I'll have like a half second where I go to scream my tits off, but then I'll remember that the kids are asleep and I'll stop myself.
Nah, mate, wake them up. Wake them up. I don't think
because,
mate, half of them haven't been alive for a New South Wales victory.
Yeah, this is true.
So get them up there and say, the Blues won!
Right. At the moment, they should witness, shouldn't they?
It is, mate. Get them up. Get them out of bed. Don't care about the next day. It's school holidays. What excuse have you got?
That's true. It's school holidays.
Okay, just say to Rach, I apologise for putting that idea in your head.
They're all a bit crook at the moment.
Oh, good, mate. Well, mate, you go get some rest. We'll talk to you on Thursday, hopefully after the Blues have got a victory. But, mate, I hope you really enjoy the game. And as we still say, go the Blues, eh?
Go the Blues.
Not the footy show.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce?
What a chup.
A chup?
No, a top.
A tip. A tip for what, Brew?
The footy Brew.
Another footy show finishes up with Mac, Nick and Nernie after a bit of a recording stuff-up of our own. We just had about a 5-minute conversation and then I said to Nick, mate, I haven't pressed record. So, Matty Duncan, I know how you feel. Speaking of feeling a bit flat, a bit average, mate, 1 from 5 from the tipping master this week. What's going on?
Oh, licking the wounds, man, but at least those camera raiders kept my pants on. I didn't want to have to do an embarrassing lap around the old recording studio this week.
Mate, Matty Duncan gets 4 from 5. Eyes, 4 from 5. The kid's back in form, and so is the papaya king, Josh Papali. What a player that young man is, mate. We had gone through the other games and your views on them all, but we don't have time for that now, so everybody, we're just going to go straight into Nick's predictions for Origin number 3. The Blues, can they resist the Queensland sentimentality? Lockyer going out as a winner, 6 straight victories, all the blah, 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 blah. But can the Blues win?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It comes down to the fact that that man, one of the greatest footballers we've ever seen, will ever see, Lockyer, is being sent off. And if the boys from Queensland can't get up for this game and can't rally around him, big question marks on their commitment. I cannot see New South Wales beating Queensland in this game. I would love to say that I can. I think we got the team to do it, But I think just the occasion of Lockie's last game is going to lift Queensland, and they're at home. And oh, mate, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think there's still a chance we can win, but oh man, we will have to play absolutely out of our skin to take it off Queensland. I'm back in Queensland at this stage.
Okay, full time, half time, bud.
Oh, well, let's go full time. Work our way back.
Yep.
I think it's not going to be I don't think it's going to be a big point scoring game as the other two games have been. You know, pretty close. Defence has been strong, so let's put Queensland on 22, and let's put New South Wales on a respectable 14.
Okay, 8-point victory to Queensland. Half-time score then?
Half-time, I think it's going to be 10-6 to Queensland.
Oh, so a bit of points in the second half.
Missed conversion from the sideline. Very tight first half. They'll open it up a bit in the second half, and I think they'll be too good. I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong.
First try scorer, mate, you can't have Inglis, Gasnier or Uwate.
Inglis, Gasnier or Uwate. Ooh, this is tough. Let's go with... I'm going to mix it up and go with JT.
Ooh, Thurston for running, first try.
Running onto a Lockyer grubber.
Ooh, very good. Now, last try scorer.
Last try scorer. Oh, I think it's going to be Queensland coming home with the big finish. Who'd it go?
Lockyer, Boyd and Gasnier taken.
Lockyer, Boyd and Gaz. Oh, Gonski. Oof. Let's see. Well, let's mix it up. Let's chuck Jennings in there for an intercept.
Now, if Jennings happens to not play, who do you want?
Oh, true. Well, let's chuck in Hain for an intercept.
Okay, now if Hain, no, he's playing. First knock on, buddy.
Which one was that?
First knock on now, mate. Minicello, Ennis, and Miles are all gone.
Minicello, Ennis, and?
Nate Miles.
Oh, Miles. Let me see. First knock on. Oh, Ennis is the obvious choice, isn't he? Let's go, Lockyer. Butterflies, last
Woo-hoo!
Game.
Oh, wow. They're going to win, and Lockyer's going to knock on first. I like it. First penalty conceded. You can't have Ennis, you can't have Thaiday, and you can't have Gallen.
Ooh, sign me up for Boscott.
Very good. He's always pretty good, a penalty pull of the man. Now, man of the match, Inglis, Gasnier, and Pierce, gone.
Lockyer. G up, son.
Very good. Now onto the exotics, the Harry hamstring watch, mate. Will any of the players that are currently injured with a hamstring or completely fit, will anybody do a hamstring during the game? Yes or no?
I'm definitely backing a hamstring, definitely.
How many do you think?
Oh, how many, I have to say as well.
I am looking for some things to count right now.
I'm just going to go with one. I'm going to play it safe, but I think there will be one.
Okay. Now,
there'll be some players out there who probably shouldn't be out there, to be honest. They won't be 100%.
Okay, the other one is pest control, and that is which of the two major pests in both sides will be a pest first, Michael Ennis or Justin Hodges?
Michael Ennis, the man can't resist it. Within the first 5 minutes, he'll step on someone, I reckon. Step on the fingers, give someone a bit of a finger in the eye, someone like that, you know. The usual from Ennis, we expect it.
Now, I haven't asked the other guys this, but are we going to finally see a bit of Donnybrook, a bit of a brouhaha in the game?
If we don't, I'll be extremely disappointed. The first couple of tackles, someone's going to get hammered, and I reckon there's going to be a big stink. And it needs to be in the first 20. I don't want to wait until the game's over and it's all, if we can't beat them, let's punch them.
Yeah.
I want to see the New South Wales boys take it to them, get them out of their comfort zone, and start swinging deluxe in the first 20. I'm tipping it.
There you go. The Donnybrook has been called by Nick McInerney. Mate, very short chat. Given I forgot to press record earlier. But we'll speak to you again on Thursday, mate, and look at round 18 with the rest of the show wrapping up what we hope. I know you hope that New South Wales win, but even though you have picked Queensland, I won't be talking to you before Thursday then.
Ooh, that's cold.
Well, you need to pick the Blues, mate. Show some solidarity. Show some support.
Oh, can I hear who everybody else tipped in summary?
You can, mate. Maddie Duncan's taken Queensland 25-12. DC Chapman's taken the Blues 16-14. And I've taken the Blues 18 points to 16.
Oh, some close ones. I think you guys are tipping with your hearts. I'm trying to tip in my head this one. I'm doing well in the tipping comps. I've got to try and stay there.
Except for this weekend. Nick McInerney, mate, good to talk to you as always. I think I've now only 13 tips behind you, so I'm getting there. I'm gradually catching you.
Oh, and just for the preview coming up for the next round, it is looking a doozy. Going to be another tough one. Who knows? Could be one from eight for me.
Let's hope so. Nick McInerney, will speak to you on Thursday. Thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure, was it?
Oh, how good is this?
G'day people, Warwick Nicholson back again, just wrapping up a few things that have happened since we finished recording the podcast. Tommy Leroy Lars has done his bicep, looks like a full on bicep tendon tear. It'll be him for the season, and just to got to give him a wrap of how tough he was, because when he did it he just looked more annoyed than he did look in pain. So that's another big injury blow to the Raiders. He just hit round into some form in the last 4 or 5 weeks, but he'll be gone for the season, and they've lost Campedi. They lost a lot of players. As much as you'd like to say the Raiders could make a run at the end of this year, they will not, but a good win tonight regardless. Look, some other news. Terry Madison looks like he'll be heading back to Australia trying to get an assistant coaching job. He's leaving Castleford over there in England. There were no charges from the NRL judiciary this week, so Origin must be over. On Sunday, we got the first look at Luke Burgess, the other Burgess brother. He made his debut for the Bunnies off the bench against the Sharks. It didn't look out of place, but he's obviously got a bit of a ways to go to be an impact player in the NRL. And finally, Nathan Hindmarsh. I love him. That is all. We'll see you on Thursday for Not the Footy Show's episode 72, the Round 18 preview, and all the reaction from Origin 3. Gee, I hope the Blues win. Have a great Origin night, everybody, and congratulations, Darren Lockyer, on a wonderful career.
Morgan Berrigan.
The Blues slow to get back into the line.
You've been sleeping over there.